Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. If you're a new listener, we pray that you are blessed by the Lord and are glad that you're able to join us as we continue on in a message I began last week, Perfect in Heart. And what we were doing was looking at one verse of Scripture, which are a quotation, if you will, of Jesus' very words found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 48. He makes this astounding statement and command, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And so what we are doing in this period of time of teaching, I'm sharing, and as we go into the Scriptures to find examples and to find out just what was Jesus asking of us? What was He expecting? Is it possible to fulfill this command? Did He mean what he was saying? And so we're going to look at what perfection means. We're going to look at some scriptural examples found in the Old Testament, as well as examples personified in the life of Jesus. We're going to be looking at seven traits that can be personally applied to our lives in order for us to be responsive and obedient to this command that Jesus gave. And so, without any further ado, well, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank You for this time, and Lord, we're asking for the power, the agency, the intervention, action of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because, Lord, we know the Holy Spirit was given to believers to be our counselor, to be our teacher, to instruct us, to unveil the mysteries of the Word of God. And so, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will be with us, not only in this time together as we share Your Word, but, Lord, increasingly active in our personal lives. Lord, that we would be, as we live in the Spirit, we are to walk in the Spirit. So we pray, Lord, our heart's desire is that the agency of the Holy Spirit would direct our steps. We know Your Word says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. But Father, we know there's ways to improve spiritually, if you will. Lord, You know what we're asking. There's times we fall, we fail, but we're asking that we may love You more, that we may follow Your commands more precisely, with greater obedience, with greater understanding, and that You would, Lord, delight in what You are doing in our lives, because we are responding with eager and with grateful hearts. And Lord, we ask that Jesus would receive all the glory for this. Amen and amen. Praise God. All right, well, we're talking about a subject no less than perfection. And so what I shared last week was, what is the definition of perfection? What does that mean? Well, Webster defines it as being without fault or defect. Secondly, it can also mean exact or precise. For example, a perfect weight, precise weight. And it means complete. Perfection, which is the noun, means the highest degree of excellence. And so we have been given this command by Jesus. And so what we're going to be doing starting today, we're going to look at what the Word of God says and how we can go about fulfilling this command. Let's consider right now that first meaning of the word perfect. It means to be without fault or defect. Well, if perfection means to be without fault or defect, then is Jesus calling us to a life without sin? Sin is imperfection, isn't that right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, there's some scriptures I'd like to share with you one that comes to mind is John 1 through 1 verse 1 verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And in Job, the 9th chapter, verse 20, Job says, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And Jesus said in Revelation 3:2, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. To the church of Sardis, he said, I know thy works, that thou livest and are dead. And he tells them to do three things, to remember how thou hast received, how thou hast heard, to hold fast, and to repent. So what shall we say to this? Is this not sort of a dilemma or a paradox? The word tells us clearly that every man is a sinner, even when we come to Jesus and we believe and receive his salvation, we still can't say that we are perfectly righteous, that we have no sin, because we're deceived if we say that. The truth is not in us. But he's telling us to be perfect. So this is definitely a paradox. He's calling us, obviously, into a walk of holiness. The Old Testament commanded his people, Leviticus 19:2, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Psalm 51:17 says, and I'm sharing a lot of scripture so that it will validate and establish whatever comments I'm making. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Psalm 139 declares, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. So, what can we say about this? We are called into a walk of holiness, and yet living this life, living in this time in which we are living in this fleshly body, we do sin because we are not perfected until we are with the Lord, until we receive the fullness and the completeness of our heritage, and that is a glorified body, and we will see him with our own eyes. We shall be known even as we are, we shall know him even as we are known. And so in this Christian walk that we live, the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring every wrong thought, word or action to our awareness. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't condemn us, but he does convict us. He brings it to our attention. And he convicts us of sin and unrighteousness. 1 John 5:17 tells us that all unrighteousness is indeed sin. And Paul exhorts us in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having the promises of God, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He's talking about, the word is telling us that our inner man is subject and needs to be subject to the will of God. Now, we are going somewhere, so just hang in there with me. Let's now look at some examples from God's Word, because there were the patriarchs of old, some of the men, the people that lived in that time as recorded, and more than just that I'm going to share with you, obviously, they are held up to us as scriptural examples of perfection. Let's look at the book of Job. In the book of Job, we see scripture begin describing Job as a man who was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed or shunned or avoided evil. And in that first chapter, verse 8, the Lord himself calls Job perfect. He continually offered burnt offerings for his children according to the number of them all. And then we see Noah, Genesis 2 and 9 says that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. He was an example of absolute obedience to God, refusing to heed the words of others. I mean, build an ark, it had never rained before. It's like, he's one crazy man in their estimation, but he was being faithful to what God spoke to him. And then, of course, we have Abraham, the father of our faith. And there's a parallel in his life with the walk of the believer. When he was 75 years old, Scripture tells us that he departed out of Haran. The Lord spoke to Abraham and said, "Get thee out from thy country and thy kindred and thy father's house, and I will make thee a great nation in thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And through his life, at special times, the Lord appeared to Abraham. The fourth time God appeared in the 15th chapter of Genesis, the Lord said, "Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And he declares to him that a son of his own flesh shall be the heir. He was told to look to the heavens. As numerous as the stars were, so shall his seed be. And when Abraham was 99 years old, some 29 years later, God appeared to him for the fifth time. God made him a promise, as he had the other times, but he said, "I will make a covenant between thee and me, and will multiply thee exceedingly." And at this time, the Lord also gave him a commandment, "Walk before me, and be thou perfect." Praise God. And this was, of course, before the birth of Isaac. And we can draw some interesting parallels to our own lives there. But my time is drawing to a close, and I must bring this broadcast to a conclusion. And as I always do, I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. God has moved so wonderfully over the years, over the decades, through the broadcast, as well as the correspondence ministry. And in fact, I have so many testimonies from people that have written. One, a sister from Sunnyvale, says, "Thank you for the good message you wrote. I've read it several times because it was just what I needed. Thank you for praying for me. My eyesight has greatly improved. I also enjoy reading your messages. They're like a letter from home. I've gained so much from them." Praise God. A sister writing from Sunnyvale, California. Well, God bless you. I love you. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.